Hello, my name is Gabby Cornway. I'm playing Revy live on July 31st. It's a Thursday. And I'll be playing with the band with Nick Winatowy, Andrew Virich, Joel Nerves, and Dan Blackie. Hope to see you guys there.
Best not to get caught up in the what if things had been different somehow. He says, I hope that you find what it is you're looking for. After all of this time, I've gone changing my mind on you. Best not to get caught up in the what if things had been different somehow. He says, I hope that you find what it is you're looking for. After all of this time, I've gone changing my mind on you.
I remember doing sound for you last year at Revy Live. How was that experience for you?
It was so fun. I feel like that was just such a fun show to put together. I haven't played too much with the band, so that was like one of the first shows that we had played like a lot of my own stuff and a lot of covers, and it was just really fun to work through songs with those guys. And I feel like every time I work with someone on a song, it just kind of brings a different flavor to it, like a different dynamic. It like comes to life in a different way. So it was a lot of fun, and I love playing with those guys. It was just like a lot of laughs, a lot of jokes, but yeah, I'm pretty proud of what we could like what we brought together in the limited amount of time we had. But it's such a like nice festival and good ambiance, so it was great to play.
Are you getting the band back together for this Revy Live?
Yes, sir, we sure are. So I'll be playing with Andrew, Joel, and Dan. So same band as last year. Nick's coming into town as well, which will be a lot of fun. So we'll have Nick on the steel, Joel on drums, Andrew on bass, and Dan on the mandolin. So pretty excited about that.
Maybe we can talk a bit about your time in Revy and the local music scene here.
Yeah, I moved to Revy like in 2022, I want to say. I have some family here, so that was kind of the main draw. But last winter, I was getting back into music again. I was unemployed, as many of us are in the winters here. And I was like, okay, well, I have all of this time. And I was writing a lot, so it's kind of like a good time to do music stuff. And I was like, okay, I'm just going to go to the drop every week and play as a challenge for myself, which can be hard to hype yourself to go to the drop on a Thursday night sometimes. But I was just like, I need to do it every week. I kept getting told by people in town being like, you have to play at the drop. That's where it's at. And I was like, okay. So yeah, I just went like consistently, and it's such like a welcoming like community, and everybody's so supportive in town, and it just like got me really excited to keep playing. And yeah, shout out to the drop open mic, I guess. Yeah,
I think that's actually the first place that I met you. I think I was filling in for Bambi on bass one night, and you came up and played a couple of your songs.
Yeah,
it's all coming back to me right now. Wow. Let's talk a bit more about your songwriting process. You said that you're writing a lot in the winter. Are you kind of like a journaler and thinking of lyrical ideas, or are you strumming a guitar and hoping that the melody comes to you when you're doing that?
I feel like songwriting for me is a very like intuitive process. I've kind of been playing music since I was a teen, and it's always something I just kind of do. I feel like a lot of my songs come from some pretty intense like experiences or feelings. So for me, it's like a nice way to process some of that stuff. And in terms of process, I feel like sometimes I get an idea of the song just like randomly. It feels very like almost like divine intervention. Not that the songs are good, but just it's kind of like it hits me and I get like super hyper focused on a song and I'm just trying to work it out. And sometimes they come really quickly and it's like 20 minutes I wrote a song, or sometimes it's like a year or month to write. So yeah, it's a very intuitive process. I feel like I do both the instrumentation and the lyrics at the same time, or sometimes there'll be like a line that's caught in my head, but yeah, it just kind of pops out of nowhere for me. Yeah.
Cool. And you mentioned that you've been playing music since you were a little kid. Do you have a first memory of making music, or do you have a favorite teacher growing up?
Yeah, I feel like my dad's a musician, so there's always music in the house. Like, he's always playing, like, something. He plays a lot of different instruments, but, I have so many memories of, like, waking up to the sound of the guitar, so I feel like there's always been music at home that was always a big influence for me. I took piano as a kid, but I wasn't very good, so I think that I lasted like a year or two. I'm not a big like details person, so all of music theory is kind of like a bit over my head, honestly. But yeah, I started playing again kind of in high school. I would sing in choirs and stuff, and then started kind of songwriting a bit. I actually had a ukulele as my first instrument. Yeah. Which was fun. But yeah, I have definitely pivoted from that. So this song I wrote during winter when I was unemployed, as many of us are, like I said earlier. And I was spending, like many of us do, maybe too many nights at the drop. And I wrote this song after a night in particular where it was like a show, the whole town was there, everybody I've ever met in Revelstoke was there, and I maybe had a couple of beers too many, and I remember talking to people, but you know when you wake up and you're like, what did I say to this person? I was just kind of riddled with anxiety, but then this song came out of it, so maybe that's not such a bad thing, I guess.
Small town bar on a Friday night. The weather's warm, band's playing all right. Boys in the back are trying to start a fight, and the man in black says, hey, take it outside. Step outside into the night with the smell of smoke and the glow of streetlights. Ask me if I'm doing all right, and I say, well, do you really? no cure for a broken heart, but it may as well be a start. Man behind the bar is also alone, working this double all on his own. You can see the bags under his eyes. He said this shift don't feel worth it tonight. Happens sometimes after one too many beers. Words come out my mouth that no one should hear. How do I get myself back on track? How do I look you in the eyes after that? Bartender, can I get another?
Shifting gears a bit, you left Revy last summer?
Yeah, in September.
Yeah, tell us a bit about what you're doing now.
So I moved to Nelson for school, so I'm in the nursing program at Selkirk College now, which definitely limits my time a bit now for music, but I'm slowly making connections in Nelson and hoping to play more in the future.
And before we got started here, you mentioned that you got a grant to record some music.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited about it. I haven't done any professional recording before, so I'm working with Sean Cameron, who's a local musician and producer in Nelson area, and we're going to do a song with Propel Studios sometime in the near future, which is pretty exciting. Yeah, it's kind of like a mentorship grant, which is pretty exciting for me. I feel like I have a lot to learn from Sean, and it's gonna be fun to kind of work up a song in a very like purposeful way and just kind of have a project going on to focus on. I feel like that's super motivating, so I'm pretty excited.
How do you find the process of working with someone else when you're creating music compared to writing on your own?
I feel like I haven't done a lot of co-writing with people. I find like music for me is definitely a way I like process a lot of like events or feelings in my life. But I love playing with other people. I feel like it always brings something more, like different ideas for a song or like the structure of the song in new ways. And I actually love working with other people. I feel like that's what I've been really missing in Nelson, is just not having as many people to play with regularly. But yeah, I'm pretty excited to work on this song with Sean. And I feel like even playing the show last year, working up some of my songs with the band, like they totally changed for the better. And yeah, I'm really excited. I'm just like love working with other people. So yeah, it's going to be good, I think.
Well, one of my last questions for you, what's your most treasured musical possession?
Ooh, probably my guitar, because that's one of the only ones, but also because my dad got it for me a couple years ago when I wasn't really playing a ton of music, and it kind of forced me to play a bit more, because I was like, oh, he got me this guitar, like I should probably play it. And I actually hadn't played for like my earlier 20s. I was not really playing a ton of music, and then after getting this guitar, I feel like I just started playing and writing a lot more, and I feel like I've been growing a lot as a musician in the last few years. So yeah, definitely the guitar for sure.
Hello everybody, my name is Daniel James McFadgen, and August 2nd I'm coming to Revy Live to play in beautiful Revelstoke with my full band. First time in Revelstoke. I can't wait. Coming all the way from Nova Scotia for the show. So please come out and we will see you there.
I just wanted to say that, you know, we miss you. We love you. And really hope we get to see you soon, man.
I never left. I was seeking out a meaning, chasing girls and paying rent. Then I've lost a lot of people somewhere along those tracks. Burnt a lot of fancy verses. Hell, I'm glad I'm back. And if the city's so excited, why do all the poets boast of a country more inviting somewhere along the coast? You got miles of thirsty gutters, stay or leave you pay a toll. I'll keep the shining rivers, you can take the sewer holes. Where you're ushered to the bustle, you're walking like a rattlesnake. Easy Street is fading, hurry up so you can't wait. I was lost in concrete jungles, burning waste of junk you toss. In a stacks of small apartments, numbered so you don't get lost. And here I sit at present, waiting in a border town. Drinking beer and lemon squashes, taking baths and cooling down. Lights to make you happy, screens to catch your red end eyes. Desolation where the smoke is, home is where the eagle flies. You should give it a try. You should give it a try. I'm going back to the country, I wish I never left. I was seeking out a meaning, chasing girls and paying rent. If the city's so exciting, why do all you poets boast of a country more inviting somewhere along the coast? You should give it a go.
My weirdest gig ever. I have a couple weird. I have a weird one and a sad one. My weird one was this. I did this tour with my buddy Taylor, and he's playing drums, and we played at this random bar that my friend told me would be a good idea to play at. And it was in this town called Salisbury, New Brunswick. Lovely town. But it was this place called Grady's, and we got all set up, but we were just kind of, it was just the only people that were there were like four people on like VLT machines, like video lottery machines. And at first they were like really not into it. And we, I think it was like a 4-hour gig. So we had to do like four different sets. And it started off being like really depressing and sad. And then I had some friends show up, and then these like the people in the VLT machines like stopped gambling and started listening. And it became like one of the favorite shows I've played. It was strange, but really great. And then another show, this is more sad. Maybe it's not that sad, but I played a show here in Wolfville, Nova Scotia, and there was a snowstorm, but I still wanted to play the show because I thought people would show up, and people were like, yeah, we'll show up. And then nobody showed up. It was a 3-hour gig. and it was just me playing to the bartenders for a little bit. And then this one person did show up, and then they like sat like right in the front, and I was really excited. So I started like playing songs I was excited about again. And then they like, while making eye contact with me, took out headphones from their backpack and put headphones on their head and started listening to their own music. So that was one of the sadder ones, but it now creates a funny story, and it was long enough ago that doesn't keep me up at night. I've played in BC quite a bit. We're doing a Cross Canada tour this year, and Creative BC had a big part in the album that I'm releasing in August. And yeah, they helped out a lot. We recorded at Shoe Swap Lake. Yeah, I love playing in BC. Spent a lot of time in BC. I just recorded another record in Victoria. I've got some friends out there. Yeah, just like the vibes there. I like playing out there. I lived in Vernon for a little bit, so I try to make it back as much as I can.
Well, this seems like a good opportunity for you to maybe tell us what's going on in your world. You know, you talked about the new album coming out and recording new stuff and the tour. So walk us through what's going on with you this summer.
So yeah, this summer I've got some festivals I'm playing at, a lot of full band shows, like this one. I've got an album releasing in August that was recorded on the Shoe Swap Lake. We had this Airbnb out there, and we kind of turned it into a recording studio. Spent a couple of weeks with some close friends. My friend Jake from Salmon Arm, my friend Cole from Vancouver, and my buddy Taylor from Vernon. Spent a couple of weeks together, played video games, and recorded a full album. And it's been sitting around for a good while, and we're releasing it in August. And then we've got like 20 or 30 dates after that. But yeah, and then after that, we'll see. But it's going to be really busy up until November. So we're playing in most provinces. So it's going to be quite a trip.
Do you guys have a favorite thing to do on a day off from tour?
On a day off from touring, I think we usually just like take it easy, hang out, usually like order some food, get some pizza. A lot of times if I'm with the crew on the West Coast, we'll do some writing, and we actually, the part of the album that we recorded last year was recorded or was written up at Silver Star in outside of Vernon, Silver Star Resort. We had a gig there, and they gave us a hotel room, and we did a lot of jamming, and it was working really well. And that's when we talked about it would be fun to do an album together. So yeah, we do a lot of jamming, a lot of playing, hanging around, ordering food. That's pretty much it.
Sweet.
Checking out local coffee shops. I think pretty much every town we go to, we try to find good coffee. We all really like cappuccinos and stuff. We're all coffee snobs.
Dirty towns and state laws hurt my heart. Cigarette burns and neon, the car before it starts. And rising seas and baseball teams and darts. Highway trash, the cost of gas, Walmart. I hope we get to see this garden grow. The sad face on the subway gets me down. You'd think with all of our insight, it would cost too much to frown. The wildest dreams and fast machines, the sound. Everything you need is here and now. I hope we get to leave before the show. When the daylight comes, will you shield my eyes? Will you shield my eyes? I'm driving all alone and feeling low. And all this talk of hatred on my FM radio. City tents, inflated rental hope. The left and right, conflicted sides, black smoke. Now watch as this parade, it comes to town. So when the daylight comes, would you shield my eyes? Would you shield my eyes? It's been a long, hard year.
My songwriting process usually starts with strumming a guitar, and it's usually in that like first few minutes that I pick up a guitar after a while, and I find it just like sounds, something always happens really quickly right when I pick up a guitar, and then it's like, it's almost like the first time I've ever picked up a guitar, it just like feels so good and sounds so good that something will come out of that. A lot of the times on sound checks, like, it's just a different vibe when you're playing into a room and you're plugged in and you can hear like a reverb on your voice, and that can be really inspiring. So like sometimes during sound check, I'll have to like pull up my voice memos and play something and just hum over it. But I'm mainly a melody first kind of person. I like melodies, and the lyrics and the story kind of always, I kind of just trust the process, write gibberish, and then I'll say something or think of something, or something will happen that where the lyrics will kind of start shaping themselves, and then a story comes out of it. And it's, I, a lot of the time it ends up being, I guess, more interesting than anything I would write down on a piece of paper. I find when I try to like write lyrics first or write ideas down, it's just, I don't know, never really interests me. But when it comes from just like a mumbling or singing spot, something different and cool comes from it that I wouldn't have thought of if I had to think about it. I was really inspired growing up. I lived about 45 minutes from Toronto. So once I was able to drive on the weekends, me and my friends would go out a lot of times to Danforth Music Hall in the city. We'd make a trip for the night. And that was like my first time being in like a real venue and seeing like how good things can sound with lights and everything. And there used to be this venue called the Cool House in Toronto too. That was really cool. But like a pivotal moment for me for sure was this band called Azolas. They were based out of Vancouver, like an indie rock band. Mother's was a big inspiration too when I saw them. But yeah, I saw them open for, Zola's open for Colorado when I was in high school. And they just kind of blew me away as like an opening band. And I saw a few shows from them after that, but that was really cool. I think that was pivotal. And I didn't get right into like the full band stuff for a while. A big inspiration to me too was a friend of mine now named Craig Cardiff used to play at the summer camp that I grew up going to and working at. And he would come every summer and play and sell CDs and stuff. I always thought that was so cool. And he'd tell stories. And it's part of the reason why I still really like playing solo. I feel that I've learned a lot from him, and I end up working with him for years during COVID, doing like songwriting workshops for kids and stuff. But, yeah, that was really cool. And it's like now the same, like what he used to do and play every summer is now what I go back to that same camp and I'm doing that gig outside of Ottawa, which has been really cool and kind of like a full circle moment for me. But yeah, I'd say like those two specific things, like going to shows in Toronto in high school and then getting to see Craig growing up too, was like both sides of what I'm still doing, which is the full band, indie rock, a bit rockier stuff, and still doing that singer-songwriting stuff. So it's cool that so many years later, it's definitely still left like a big impact.
I want to know what your most treasured musical possession is.
My most treasured musical possession. Honestly, it would be the Silvertone guitar that I just got. I just got this like I got a smoking deal on this 70s silver tone guitar that sounds terrible. And when you go to like move any of the knobs, it distorts in like a terrible way. So you can't touch anything while you're playing. It goes like zzz, really, really loud. And I think, I don't know, it's really charming and has this like cool, like surfy tone to it, but sounds really terrible, but really good. That's, it's newer, but now it's my, I'd say it's my most prized possession. And then this, like, I have this Ludwig banjo that's a friend of mine that was borrowing it from another friend. And I would just say that's my prized possession because I'm really scared of breaking it because it's not even my friend's banjo. It's my friend's banjo. And I think it's worth quite a bit of money. So I'm looking at it right now and just keeping it really safe. And I've hardly played it, but I should play it more.
Yeah. Hey there, this is Nathan from Class Action, trombone player extraordinaire. We're a five-piece ska band coming from Calgary, ready to rock your face off. Come see us Sunday, August 3rd, Revy Live. Be there. Weirdest gig we've ever played. Oh man. You know, that's a tough one, but we've played lots of kind of small shows in the middle of nowhere. We played a wedding, but it was down in, or a birthday, but it was down in the basement of the like the Masonic building in Calgary. So we went upstairs and they had all these all this like ceremonial furniture and stuff on the walls. And it was just like, it was a bit of a weird experience, but it was a fun little party and everyone enjoyed it. So I joined the band about a year after it started. I had a mutual friend in university that knew the guitar player of the band. So they were looking for a trombone player because their original guy had to playing a different band. So I remember them, you know, asking me to come, and I was so excited. I never thought I'd be able to play in a ska band in Calgary. So it was just, you know, going over to the house and jamming out there. And it was just instantly like, yeah, this is exactly where I need to be. It was awesome.
Walk us through the band a little bit. What can we expect?
Yeah. So we've got obviously Tracy on drums. We've got Alex on bass, Trevor on guitar, and then we've got Gary L on alto sax and myself, Nathan, on trombone.
Did you grow up playing the trombone?
Yeah. So when I was a kid, I started playing guitar when I was about 10, and then junior high, I started on trumpet, did that for a couple of years. And when I hit high school, we had too many trumpets in the band. So they asked if someone would play trombone, and I was like, yeah, I can do that. So I picked it up, and I was instantly 10 times better at trombone than I ever was at trumpet. And it's been full steam ahead ever since. So that's going on. That is also like 25 years now, almost. Yeah. So our songwriting process, we like to joke. It's somebody writes the lyrics generally to the song, brings it to the band, and then we talk about writing the song for the next 5 to 10 years. But it is really that, like, somebody, generally our guitar player, sometimes myself, bass player, sax player, we all kind of take part in it. We'll bring a song. Usually when it's the guitar player, sax, they'll have more of the music kind of figured out to start the chords at least. And then we'll play the song, and we'll just play it over and over and over again. And people start adding instruments. So it's a very active process at jam. It can feel like a slog, especially for the horns, because until the rest of the rhythm section has their stuff figured out, it's kind of hard for us to finalize what we're going to do, because a lot of what we play depends on the chords and when they change. And we try and use the melodies that they're singing in our horn lines to kind of call and response or back and forth. So there's a lot of nuances to it. And as horns, we also try not to overtake the vocals or if somebody else is doing a cool thing. So we have to find places to fit between words and, you know, guitar licks and bass licks and drum fills and things like that. And then sometimes we just have a nice big solo section where we just kind of make it up every time, and it's always a little different.
Thank you.
Yeah, so we actually put out a new album in November last year. It's called That Fleeting Feeling. And we've got it out on all the streaming services, Spotify, Apple Music, Tidal, Deezer. I don't know. There's so many of them nowadays. We've sent it out to a lot of the like local radio stations in Canada, but I don't know if they play it ever. We do have physical vinyl as well, which we're excited. It's the first time we've ever done it. It's a cool yellow and blue splatter, which is it's fun to see. We actually just yesterday just posted our first music video as well, which is very exciting. The SAIT campus, the film studies program, asked us if they could film a music video for us, so free of charge, which was excellent. But yeah, we just got that on YouTube, which is pretty exciting. So but this is the big show we have this summer. We always have the problem in the summer, everyone's really busy, vacations and school and things like that, so we don't get to play too much in the summer, but this Revied show is the big one for us. I mean, I want to go the sappy route and say my most treasured musical possessions, my trombone. I bought it new in high school, so like it's been with me since day one of playing, and it's seen a lot of stuff. It's been through a lot of shows. It's hit a lot of mic stands. At one point, our old guitar player sat on it and bent the bell 90 degrees, and I had to get that fixed. So it's got a lot of memories and just like history. So it's pretty special, I would say.
Hey, everyone. This is Jane Carmelamo. You can catch myself and the Interbeings playing at Revy Live on BC Day, August 4th. We can't wait to see you there.
From a different place, from a different place.
Yeah, so what you can expect from myself, Jane Carmelamo, and the Interbeings, we are an all-original, alt-rock, post-grunge, shoegaze four-piece, and we are from the Nelson and Salmo areas. We're kind of from all over the place. And we recently released an album in December of all original tunes. This is our first album as a band collectively. I've been a solo artist for many years, but our first debut release as a band came out in the winter. And so, yeah, you can expect some high energy, grunge filled, noise filled, awesome new tunes with really melodic vocals. We often get compared to the Cranberries and other 90s bands. We get Radiohead comparisons sometimes. We even get compared to Tool. I've been called a femme-fronted perfect circle before. So yeah, it'll be high energy, good vibes, and all original tunes.
And how long have you been playing with the band now?
So we've had a few configurations, changed a few members, but overall, we've been playing together for about 2 years, some of the members, and some members came on board in the fall when we had a bit of a switch up due to some other life commitments from former members. So the new configuration since about August, September or so, but all in all as a band, maybe two and a half years or so.
I'm curious, how does your songwriting process change when you transition from a solo artist to playing with a band?
So how my songwriting process has changed since I've transitioned from being a solo artist to a band is just that it's more of a collaborative effort. So I often will bring an idea to the table, usually the basic structure of a song and lyrics, and then everybody else writes their own parts. I like everybody to have creative control and feel like they're contributing their own art to the band. And it's some really amazing organic stuff has happened that way that I never would have done myself as a solo artist. Like, especially like my current lineup is all men. And I find that like the male energy contributes something totally different than my femme energy. And so it's been really fun to collaborate with other artists rather than just being in my own bubble, because stuff has happened that wouldn't have otherwise happened.
Thank you.
Ooh, my most treasured musical possession. I don't know if I could pick just one, but I do have a few guitars that were my father's guitars. He recently passed away this January, and he was always a huge inspiration for me as a musician. And so playing his guitars means a lot to me. One guitar that I have in particular that I really love is was one of his first acoustic guitars. It's super beat up, road worn, amazing. It's like a pawn shop special Yamaki, but it's this beautiful dreadnought acoustic, and it sounds so beautiful and full. I have, another guitar that is one of my main acoustic guitars that's probably more expensive, but the Yamaki sounds so beautiful. And I recently had my friend Roger set it up for me and put in a pickup so that I can plug it in and play it live without having to mic it. And so I'm going to be bringing it out to Revy and playing it on stage. And yeah, whenever I play that guitar and any of my other dad's guitars, I've got an electric of his that I'm going to bring as well, which is a Godin guitar with a Fender neck, because he had Parkinson's, and in his later years he was having a lot of falls, and he fell on this guitar and the neck snapped, and he had it rebuilt. So it's kind of like a Franken guitar, but it's also really beautiful. And so yeah, whenever I play one of my dad's guitars on stage, I just feel like he's there with me. And so yeah, those are my most treasured musical possessions, or my daddy's instruments.
Yeah, that's incredible. Wow. Thank you for sharing that. I appreciate it.